Oh, Father, we bless you for this event that you've given us. We thank you for this gathering here and that your Holy Spirit is with us. We thank you, Father, that you are speaking to us in the depth of our souls. Now speak to us through your word, because we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. And we know that we walk by faith and not by sight. So increase and strengthen our faith that we may walk more faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. A number of years ago, we used to have mission conferences, and the walls were filled with banners, missions groups, and since then we haven't done that in easily over a decade and a half. But what we try to do is what I call mini missionary conferences. So when a missionary is here, we just let them take over, basically. But this one missionary, he was with the MAF, and he had somebody stand here as the missionary, and then he had signs, and then over here was us over here. And in between, how many people would stand between him and the persons in the church and the people around the field? And it was fascinating. You had like seven or eight people. You have not just the pilots, you had the mechanics, you had the inspectors, you had the people that were prayer support, you had the people on the ground that were supplying. They loaded the airplane, they got the supplies there, and finally Usson's over here. We were praying for them and financially supporting them. And it's real fascinating. So what I have in the next slide is what happens at GAF. Anybody familiar with GAF, Gospel? Oh, it's AGF. I did that dyslexia again. Asian Gospel Fellowship. it's Gospel for Asia. I did it again. I'm backwards. Oh, my goodness. This is amazing. Gospel for Asia is what it's called. And the gentleman that runs it is kind of staying quiet now for various reasons. Yes, exactly, Catherine. She's getting a lot of hair. I just noticed that. Look at that. Cool. Okay, I feel better now. You feel better? We're good. But it's okay not to be okay. So... This is a typical picture of a missionary. You may recognize Mr. Stanley. Stanley Livingston, I presume. Yeah, thank you. Somebody's going to say that. This is the pith helmet guy. It goes in the deepest part of Africa. I still find it strange today. I was at another church recently, and they said they have missionaries in Africa, as if Africa is just one large country. There's numerous countries in Africa. We have friends all over the world, obviously. I have friends in Cote d'Ivoire, in Uganda, and Malawi. And just, you know, those are countries, you know. And then you have the whole 2040 block across the Muslim countries in Africa. We got Libya, Tunisia, Morocco, and of course you have Egypt on the other side, and Chad, and Somalia, and our friends there in Somalia, and Ethiopia. But in the old days, they just talked about it as one big continent. But now it's just parts of different continents. But what they do now is to realize that there are a lot of people that support the missionaries. And they get a lot more support. As you can see in these pictures here, they are all over this place. This is the Gospel for Asia. Just quoting from their website, the mission support team is comprised of behind-the-scenes missionaries who serve for Gospel for Asia's administrative offices. Although they serve in offices far from the physical mission field of Asia, their role is vital to the ministry. For nearly 40 years, behind-the-scenes missionaries have functioned as crucial links between the mission field and the Western Church. By communicating with GFA supporters in their country and raising resources for the field, the mission support team has provided the field with crucial prayer and financial support needed for the ministry. In much the same way that the mission support team stands behind the frontline workers, you too can stand behind them behind the scenes. They have a whole bunch of jobs, as you can see in these pictures here, the various functions that they have. And nowadays, there's more tech support, isn't there, than there has ever been. But there's all these different gifts. And we talked about this last time about how Paul Watson at the Downtown Vineyard talked about, you know, you can use your gifts in the church. No matter what your gifts are, you can use them as a deacon or an usher. Or, you know, but you can't use your medical gifts in the church because, well, you can't hand out bulletins. If you're a preacher or teacher, you can do this. But so they want to have ministries outside the church as well as inside the church that use your gifts, because we're all gifted differently and we all have different expertise and functions. And that's what we're trying to do here, is explain in this message today that the support team is way larger with many more variety of gifts than we think in the traditional church setting. And that's, hopefully you can see that here, that it's just everybody's got a part to play, even though they're behind the scenes. Their part is very vital to running a ministry. If you are not liking the mission field perspective, think of an athletic team. For example, a football team. Who are often the most unheralded people unless they get a flag thrown? Nope. They have the offensive line. The offensive line is the most unheralded people until they, number 62, is it, or 72? Yeah, number 72 on the Broncos, you know, he's holding. He needs to have his hands inside, not outside, can't tackle the guy to the ground. But if they're not blocking, what else doesn't happen?
The quarterback gets sacked.
They don't score. The running back can't run, you know, and it just doesn't work. And I think it's my T7 or 11, okay? I was a quarterback in high school. I was also free safety on defense, quarterback on offense. And I'm dropping back for a pass, and I'm looking to my right. And there was a blitz coming on my left. He buried his helmet in the middle of my back, snapped my hat back. I got whiplash and bruises on my neck, and I went down. I kept the ball, but I went down. Exactly. You know what I'm talking about. And so someone didn't do their job. I won't name his name because he's probably a good friend of mine still from high school. But the coach told him to do once was he told him to play quarterback and told everybody else not to block. So he was playing quarterback on a play and nobody else blocked and they just hammered him. You'd think that would teach him, though, but it didn't. They don't understand how important the whole playing is. It's just everybody's got to do their part. Or you've got a broken play and you take the ball and you turn around and your running back's not here. He's running the other direction. So you go through the hole and you get tackled and get your shoulder separated by the guy that was laying on the ground that would have been run past by the running back, but he didn't do that. So I have a separate shoulder and play two more plays trying to do a quick pitch. But someone doesn't do their job, someone gets hurt is my point. Now in the real world, we kind of don't see that. Somebody's laid on something, it just pushes everybody else up down the line. But in the military, if somebody's not doing their job, what happens? Yeah, it's life or death. But we kind of poo-pooed in the church. Well, it's okay, you know, and it's all Book of Malachi. You don't even go there. You got to give your best to the Lord. And the support team is way important in this because they got to play their best, even if nobody's watching or gives you accolades. Oh, good job, you know, because you're important to the whole structure. I would say the whole structure of things. And that's what we're talking about this morning, particularly about some women in this. Now, it doesn't have to be just particularly women. But in this case, I am talking about women. Brothers and sisters, there's room here for the support team. There's room in the kingdom for the support team, those who work behind the scenes and don't get much attention. Now, there are two types of people who work behind the scenes, those who don't want attention and those who do. I have to learn which is which. Because if you honor those who don't want to be given attention to, they leave the church. And if you don't honor those who want attention, they leave the church. So I've got to be real careful and figure out how. And sometimes I flat out ask, how do you feel about this? It's okay if we do this? Because remember, I have in a couple weeks, we'll have, it's next Sunday, oh my goodness, All Saints Day. We honor all the saints. And so we try to do that and get my annual candles to you guys, which has been probably burnt already, but anyway. So we're going to talk about a young lady named Joanna and another one named Susanna. And don't start singing. Yeah, that's right. That's the whole idea there. Okay, Joanna's name means a gift from the holy name, or Yahweh bless his name. Yahweh is gracious. And Susanna's actually name means lily. These are some women that follow Jesus. And if you want, I'm at Luke chapter 8, by the way. I should have said that at the beginning. Luke chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured or healed, delivered of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, we'll talk about her later in the series, from whom he delivered 7 demons. Joanna, the wife of Cruza, the manager of Herod's household. She's high up in the king's arena. And then Susanna and many others. These women were helping to support them, the 12, out of their own means. And we'll talk about how that means comes about. But these are two women that are named here, 3 technically, but we'll come back to Mary specifically about her freedom in that. So these are some women that were with Jesus, their business. We know one's was in Herod's household. She was part of the support staff. Her husband didn't. She probably ran the women's group of the support team, as well as her husband doing the. And they had large means because they were paid by the king. And their business was, the other ones we don't know. We just don't know, and that's okay. And what's fun is, as we go deeper into this, we don't know a lot about these people, but are they still in the kingdom? Yeah, just because you're known doesn't mean not known, doesn't mean you're part of it. And they associate with Mary and Martha, Mary of Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and we see this in Luke chapter 24, and we'll get to that in a few moments here as well. Personal profile, what I like to point out of these people is they're sacrificially supporting. They gave out of their own means, and what did they get out of it? They didn't get any human investment or human return, but they got eternal investments, so they were sacrificing there. They were quietly supporting. They didn't draw attention to themselves. And in this day and age, to draw attention to women following a rabbi is rather dangerous, isn't it? Yeah, and today, even worse in some ways, because there's all these accusations. You know, you hang with the wrong people, they accuse you of stuff, and you get yourself in trouble. So you're quietly supporting, not to draw attention to themselves. And that's what these kind of women were. They were selflessly supporting. They bought things with their own money, their own means. And that's, you know, pretty heavy there. And they're faithfully supporting. In Luke 24, they were at the tomb of Jesus when he died. They were there in the good times, and they were there in the bad times. So a true Bronco fan, if you will, you're still a fan even though they're doing real poorly this season. You can clearly tell I am not. A Broncos fan. Did I say that out loud? I mean, I watch with my wife, but that's about it, you know. But the point is, if you're faithful, you're there in hard times and good times. You're not just a fair-weather friend. And a lot of Christians today are, if it's convenient, if I get something out of it, what's in it for me? But these ladies were not that type of people at all. This support team was there for Jesus when he was at his his highest peak of popularity and when he was greatest opposition. And interestingly enough, while the apostles were not at the cross, they were. And they followed him to the grave. They were faithful. Their ministry and calling, I've mentioned this already, they were healed by Jesus. Let's read that again in Luke chapter 8, verse 2. And some of the women who have been cured, they've been delivered or healed of evil spirits and diseases. The word diseases could be weaknesses. Mary Magdalene, we're told specifically, had seven demons that came out of her. And again, we'll talk about her more specifically in the weeks to come. Joanna was healed. We don't know what she was healed from. And the other women were healed. And out of this came their love for Jesus to follow him wherever he'd go. Isn't that cool? I was sharing with a pastor this week, or actually he was sharing with me about how he led a guy to the Lord. And he said, you know what? I didn't do the sinner's prayer. Do you think they're saved? You ready to rack your theology? Is there a sinner's prayer in the Bible? No, it is not. What was the most common thing Jesus said to people to get them? Kinda. In the beginning, what was it? Follow me. Yeah, he started with follow me. Were they saved? And then, do you believe? So you follow him, you believe in him, and something changes. Gets scary, doesn't it? And I'm convinced if you love Jesus, no matter what level it is, it's all that counts. You claim him as Lord, you believe he's been raised from the dead, your life goes poof. It's changed. You know, I remember how much I changed. It was amazing. I was fighting this with my guy across the hall in the dorms. He was so at peace. His peace was all over me. And I was this anxious person, like I'm not now. And he was just so anxious. I was so anxious, and he invited me to this stupid Christian thing where they sang stupid songs. It's like, give me the Black Sabbath and give me, you know, Led Zeppelin, but these, oh, high mountains, high valleys, low. I mean, I was like, oh my goodness, give me a break. And I came in late. I found out I wasn't going to make the baseball team at ASU. Did I ever tell the whole story? I never told the whole story. And so I left there. I went to my buddy who left me. For a girl to get his first night of losing his virginity. And so then I called up my girlfriend, and she was with another guy. And so my life was flushing the toilet quickly, so I was going to kill myself. So I'd already tried to jump off a bridge. That didn't work. And so I was walking across campus, and I was going to run out in front of the cars. And the Lord had this dog show up out of nowhere. So I stopped at Burger Chef and got my last meal and bought a burger and some fries for a couple bucks. And this dog's following me. So I'm giving him some fries and giving him some thing. And this dog's following me. You getting it? He wasn't following me. What was he doing? He was leading me. The Lord was using this dumb dog to lead me across campus. I wasn't paying attention where I was going. I had all these thoughts of killing myself and all that. So I get there, and I look up, and across the street is that stupid Campus for Crusade for Christ place where they sing all these stupid songs. So I waited. I looked around for the dog to say bye, and the dog was gone. He'd been with me the whole way. So I believe that angels can look like dogs too, but don't tell anybody that. And so it was like a donkey, right? And so I go across the street. I dodge all the cars like Frogger. And I wait outside. They're singing. So I waited till the singing was over. And then I went in. And I snuck in the back. I had would be, become my Jesus Freak blue jean jacket. But I was in my blue jean jacket. And I went back. And this guy's saying, "Are you existing? Are you living?" Well, I knew where I was at then. And so I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm a Christian or not. Because I was brought up Catholic, you know. But I'm going to make myself a Christian tonight so I receive into my life. There was no sinner's prayer, but something happened. Some jolt took over me, and I just started devouring the Word of God, and something happened. So my point is, when you get healed by Jesus, something happens to you, and you have sudden commitment to Him, that you just have this loyalty and love for Him you can't explain, and there's no 1, 2, 3 ABCs. It's just all different. We're all unique, but we all love Jesus, don't we? So these people were healed by Jesus. And you know what else we know? Nothing else. Nothing else in church history. Isn't that sad? Now, as you know, I believe that the women showed up in the Old Covenant. You have two books about women. Which are they? Ruth and Esther. So there are women in the Old Testament. We have a female judge named Deborah. So women show up in the Old Testament. But you find something suspicious in the New Testament. There are no books about women in the New Testament, are there? Except the book of Hebrews, I'm going to submit to you. I think Priscilla wrote that. Because it's so Pauline, somebody's a disciple of Paul, and they wrote just like Paul, but if it was Paul, what would he have said?
That it was him.
Yeah, he would have said it was him, exactly. So, but doesn't say. So I want to suggest to you and submit to you that there are women in the Old Testament. I think there's women in the New Testament. I think it's the book of Hebrews. Now, there's some scholarship of late that's starting to move in that direction, but because of some cultural issues, it got there real slowly. And how did they die? Everybody said?
We know nothing.
We know nothing. Sergeant Schultz, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. We don't know. We don't know how they died. And does that matter? Because there's millions of people, we don't know how they died. You can walk in any cemetery, and I do this when I want a quiet time, so I just go to Palisades Cemetery, and I just walk through it, and I know some people there anyway. And it's just, you don't know how they died. And if it wasn't for those stones, would we even know about them? No, they're gone. There's 1870s and 1912 and, you know, and all these different people. So does that make them any less saints? Does that make them any less a vital person, a support team? No, it does not. Just because we don't know anything about them, they're still important in that time and that space that they're functioning in because the Lord's using them behind the scenes.
We know where they are now.
Yes, we know where they are now. Excellent. Yes, we do. Excellent. And our Jesus points, really simply put, building families. We want to encourage all children to do things behind the scenes that no one may even notice. You can bake cookies, clean somebody's house, mow their lawn, pick up the trash in their yard. Just recently, my son-in-law was kind of staring across the street just about a couple weeks, months ago now, maybe 6 weeks ago. And he said, "Come on, kids, let's go across the street and pull weeds." And they have this woman that's kind of a shut-in across the street from their house, and they went over and pulled weeds. Did the kids complain? No, they did not. They enjoyed it. And then when you teach them when they're young, that's like it's fun for them then. They just say, "Hey, let's go do this." Years ago, we did a CIA thing here, Christians in Action, and we told people go undercover and do something nice for somebody. Don't let them know. I happened to come in one day and caught somebody dusting my office, but it was embarrassing. But he's, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was supposed to be out of here in time." But just do stuff for people. And you don't have to be a CIA agent. And they don't call them agents anyway. They're not operatives. But Christians in Action. And it doesn't have to be. Okay, it is not. It's outside my head, right? You're hearing it too? Okay, good. So we want to encourage children. And it's fun to do this. And it's fun to get your Facebooks and your Instagram reports because you see these pictures of all these kids doing stuff. But it starts when they're young. And then you can see that they don't have to get the accolades, they don't have to get the trophies. Now, ironically, my soccer team just finished another undefeated season. Last year was more important because last season, we were playing up. We were the first graders playing against the second graders, and we were still winning, and we were undefeated. And this season, we're equal now, or the older team, so, you know, we still did okay. We scored 71 goals, gave up 9, I think. But the point I'm making is this, is that some of them wanted trophies. We're going to get trophies? We're going to get medals? And we said, oh, we'll see. We gave them little bags of goodies. Okay. But they were happy with that. But today, in a day and age where everybody gets a trophy for whatever, there's a balance here. You still want, you want recognition on one hand for at least showing up, but not necessarily a trophy or an award. But on the other hand, you want to honor people who are doing a good job because the Lord will do that. And so that balance with children, when you teach them young, not to expect something. And I was really impressed with how these kids handled the bags that we gave them. And my Bethany did it all, but it was fun. I gave them certificates. I made the certificates up. But they were okay with that because the parents were not, oh, they should have got trouble. And just that last game that we played, the cops were called twice to kick people off the field because parents were getting out of hand. Okay? And our club will do that. No, this was the older kids. But we did talk to the second grade parents. I said, you can't stand there and make comments. If you're a coach, get over there and get your shirt on. Because this one guy was constantly grousing. And I come early sometimes, and I said, if he's there, when we play against them, he's not going to be there. We will deal with this. So I told the parents, you better deal with them or we will. And then he hit himself off to the side when we played him. So it's kind of funny. So in our pursuit of Lord Jesus, I want to give you some life lessons here. First of all, do not despise those who are behind the scenes, but honor and respect them. Because you know, without them, nothing will get done. Now I'm going to read a rather lengthy passage here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to join me with that. I've alluded to it throughout this series, but I think you need to understand that this is to the body of Christ. And yes, there are sinners in the body of Christ. There are people who don't do things right. They're selfish people, and they may still be saved. And you just go, ah! So Paul's telling them in the church of Corinth, their major problem was division. I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Paul, and us Jesus freaks, I'm of Jesus. You know, is the body of Christ divided? Answer? No, it is not. And so what happens is Paul's saying, you guys got to be united because you have one spirit. Verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form how many bodies? One body. So it is with the Messiah. For we were all baptized by how many spirits? By one spirit into one body, whether you're Jew or Greek, slave or free, doesn't matter where you come from, your status in life, or your eco-status, or your social status, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. Verse 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but many parts. It's diverse. If the foot should say, well, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is therefore, for that reason, ceased being part of the body. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not therefore, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Hello? Uh-huh. And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of be? Verse 18, but in fact God, the authority, has arranged all these parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, the body is made up of many parts. So this first little argument here is basically saying, I don't belong to the body because I'm not the right part. And then he goes on verse 20, the eye cannot say, I don't need you. I don't need the church. I don't need you guys. I can worship God in the mountains. How'd your worship go? On the contrary, those parts that seem to be weaker are indispensable. The support team is indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, the janitors and the scum workers, right? The guys that collect your, the clean guys that collect all the toxic waste, they're just as important. Special honor. And the parts that were presentable are presented with special modesty. Verse 24, while our presentable parts do not have no special treatment. But God, again, the authority, has combined that the members of the body and has given the greater honor to the parts that lack it. Verse 25, so that there should be no division in the body. It's like a, you know, somebody has got spasms all the time, right? In the body, but its parts shall be equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, all parts are honored. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ. And each one of you, hear that, tell somebody. Each one of you, got it? is what? Each one of you is a part of it. And the church of God, the church God has appointed, first of all, apostles, prophets, evangelists, or that's another reads what's here, prophets, teachers, and workers of miracles, also those who have gifts of healing, and those that are able to help others, gifts of helps, those with gifts of administration, speaking gifts in different languages. Verse 29, are all apostles? Answer, no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in languages? Do all have interpretation? No, but eagerly desire the greater gift. And what's the greater gift? Love. So you cannot say, I don't need you. And you cannot say, you don't need me. The body of Christ is important in all places. Now, to give the greater authority here, now I had to look high and wide for the greatest rabbi. And I found him. Rabbi Snoopy. This is his heart talking. Okay, boys, this is your old friend the heart speaking. I'm glad to see we're all out in full force today. Just don't forget me, boys. Hey, like I said before, if we all go, we all go. If I go, you go. Whoops, I'll go backwards. I'll forget that. Yeah, I'm trying to read what's here. Why doesn't he shut up? It's bad enough being a foot without having to listen to him all the time. How'd you like being an ear? We have to listen to everything. Yes, sir, boys, it's your stout heart that counts. It's a stout heart that counts. Why don't we just tell them to drop dead? Quiet! Are you out of your mind? I'm only a leg, but I like living. You know who's at fault? It's that we're out here, don't you? It's that stupid fat stomach. Leave me out of it. Boys, I'm only along for the ride. I wonder if I could transfer out of this outfit. Shut up and keep running. This is the body here, isn't it? Yes. Does this happen in the church? Sadly, it does. And that's why it's funny. You know, I'm up in front of you guys, so I have the more important gift. Ah. Okay, James tells us I'm to be judged more harshly because I got to make sure I'm teaching what's right, right? I got to make sure that I've studied the Word of God and rightly divide it and present it to you. And you guys have sitting way back in the row. They have nothing to worry about because you're in the back row. Hey, I'm cool. I'm copacetic. You're what? That's right. And you do know the Spirit's power diminishes as it goes back farther. So I understand why you sit back there. I have an equation. Some of you are sitting back there. Some of you are sitting back there because, did you mute that or did I mute that? Good. Because you got to get out for the baby. I understand that. So I'm giving you guys grace. There it is right there. Yeah, she's the only one I know. No one else has excuse. But your point I'm making is that we're all in this together. And whether you have a public gift or a private gift, someone that sees you or someone that doesn't see you, you're still important. And our goal here now is the leadership team. Myself as a pastor, I'm trying to find how can I plug you in. And sometimes I plug you in the building. Sometimes I plug you in outside the building. Sometimes you're plugged in other ways. Hey, maybe you can do this, and like this thing we just passed around for the Operation Christmas Child. Maybe, man, that's what you can do. When we have Share Fest coming up in April. We say, here's how you do that. You know, you can help us. We're going to focus on coolers this year, maybe. We need to develop a couple cooler teams. But whatever your gifts are, we're trying to involve them and activate them because we want to enlarge the kingdom to the people we can touch. Because everything we do is either bringing people to Jesus for the first time or discipling them, right? So that's lesson number one. Lesson number two. Do not let the failure of your being acknowledged diminish your serving Jesus. Since we're in Corinthians, let's jump to 1 Corinthians 16, and I'll share the silk love in a second here. I always like picking up the context. Verse 16, I'm looking at chapter 16, verse 15. You know the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. I am glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Such men deserve recognition. And we don't say such people deserve recognition. Now we know their names because why? Yeah, they're in the Bible. But there's a lot of people that aren't in the Bible. Like those other women we read in Luke. They're not there. Paul acknowledges them. But oftentimes, if your failure to be acknowledged, I'm not going to do this anymore if nobody's going to notice. Well, that's a mom, right? Yeah, how often do moms get recognized? Oh, mom, that was great. Oh, thank you for making my bed. You know, nobody does that, right? They don't do that. So, what do? You do silk love. Ready? S. And I got the little cards in the prayer center back there. Sacrifice, but don't complain. Oftentimes, the greatest complaint negates everything. After all I've done for you, then why were you doing it? For me. Yeah, for yourself, actually, not for you. And so if you're doing it for the Lord, it shouldn't matter. So you sacrifice and don't complain. I initiate, but don't impose. It's fun to watch when you initiate something. Here, I give you something. I'll give you, here, take this. I don't want this. Thank you. So you initiate, but don't impose. Did the Lord initiate? Yes, he did. He initiated. What did he do first?
Came.
Yeah, he came. Did he impose his son upon us?
Follow me.
He just asked. Come and see. Follow me. He just has an invitation. So whoever believes shall not what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. He initiated, but he didn't impose. And how many times do people impose on us that because they're going to get a penance out of it, or they're going to get some good feeling out of it? So you initiate, but don't impose. L, you listen, but don't. I heard it. Say it louder. Assume. Listen, but don't assume. In our culture today, it's fun to watch. Particularly movies, they'll do this on purpose. They'll have people misunderstand, so they build the tension in the drama plot. And you're screaming at the TV. That's not what he meant! But in real life, doesn't that happen? We assume what they're going to say, or we assume what they said because we weren't listening. We were writing something down. Yeah, that's true, though, isn't it? We were writing something down, and we weren't paying attention. And then lastly, care but don't possess. This is the old bird one, right? If you have a bird, and you let it go. If it's yours, it'll come back. If it's not, it'll keep a flying. But we like to possess, and that's not only with children, but with people and relationships. You still care. And this is the hardest part of being a support team. You do everything right, and still what may happen? Yeah. Yeah, Adam and Eve will still make a mistake. The prodigal will still walk. But you stay faithful. Faithful to the end, as these people were faithful to the end. Third lesson. Let your gratitude for what Jesus has done for you grow deeper into your soul. Luke 7:36 is for this one. Now one of the Pharisees was in verse 36. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to home for dinner. And he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Remember, they laid at table. They laid on their left arm and ate with their right hand. Their feet were away from the table. Verse 37, when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wipe his feet with their tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured the perfume on them. Now, mind you, she didn't have to go under the table. He's already laying down and feet are out there, make easy access. Verse 39, when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who was touching him and what kind of woman she is. She's a sinner. And I like Jesus. He's so cool. Verse 40, hey, Simon, I have to tell you something. Tell me, Rabbi, tell me. And that's teacher, Rabbi. Verse 41, two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii, which is a day's wage, right? Or a week's wage. No, a day's wage, I was right. And the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which one of them would love him more? And Simon said, I suppose one had the greater, bigger debt canceled. Oh, you judge rightly, Jesus said, or correctly. Verse 44. Then Jesus turned to the woman and said, Simon, do you see this woman? Answer. Oh, yeah, he saw the woman. Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I have entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. Verse 46. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured oil, perfume all over my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her sins being many have been forgiven, for she loves much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus turned to her and said, your sins are forgiven. Amen. And then they go, who is this who can forgive sins? And I like what Jesus says. He says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He didn't talk to the Pharisees. He didn't call Simon out for his thoughts, but he knew what he was thinking. This is the love that you have for Jesus when you've been so impacted by him and your life's been changed so dramatically that you can't help but what? Love him back. You can't help but love him. And you sacrifice. That perfume wasn't cheap. She poured it on him and was extravagant or wasted, as one other place we're told. That's your love for Jesus. Don't let that be diminished because you're not acknowledged, because you're not brought up in front of somebody who gave you some yahoos, but your just love for Jesus grow deeper and deeper into your soul so you can love him. There was this dishwasher who just loved to wash dishes. And he was in his 70s at the time. And after he died, he bequeathed $150,000 to the mission where he washed dishes on a weekly basis. Then he gave a college $128,000. And they're wondering, where did he get all this money from? Well, this guy loved to work behind the scenes and washing dishes, and he's had in little other money sources, but he just gave freely. Now, your legacy may not be money, but it will be lives. It will be lives that are changed and transformed. And you may not see them on this day, but when you're in heaven and Jesus says, great is your reward, there'll be all those you touched on this planet, and you touch someone who touched someone who touched someone who touched someone. And you may have no idea the impact you had on that one person who touched so many. Exactly. And so I want to encourage you that whether you're washing dishes in a dirty place or you're standing up in front of people talking, the support team is needed and is vital, and you all have a role to play in it. And when you don't play your part, you know what happens. Simple prayer. So Lord Jesus Christ, I put you on as my hat of humility. It takes humility to be behind the scenes. And we ask Lord Jesus Christ to empower us to be humbly following whatever he has us to refresh the saints. As I've preached, over the years, I've had several wheelchair-bound people who could offer very little. And this one close friend of mine is losing his ability to speak now. And he used to speak a lot, and he counseled me a lot. But presence is power. Just being here or being present is powerful. And people rejoice in that. And that's the very least we could do, let alone offer a word of encouragement, a pat on the back or a kick in the popo, to be faithful. So let's stand and pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus Christ, I put you on as my hat of humility. Empower me to humbly follow you, doing what I can to refresh your spirit. Heavenly Father, you've heard the prayer of your people. You've heard their heart. You know them way better than it could be exposed today. So I pray, Father, you honor them and that their eyes will be open to see what the needs are and to fill those, whatever capacity they can, knowing that they are doing a greater service for you and your kingdom. So now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen.